1-800-785-9.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here with Tomas, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the former Immigration Naturalization Service, with his latest Department of Homeland Security created Operation Sentinel to combat human trafficking, but it should be renamed Operation Backrub. Selwyn Duke from The New American with all of his latest, including Reading Twain Aloud Gets You Fired, but Loving Hitler Gets You a CNN Job. Some good stuff today. Today, by the way, on this day in history, 1973, the United States, South Vietnam, and Viet Cong and North Vietnam signed the Paris Peace Accords, which formally brought an end to the Vietnam War. The Paris Peace Accords, or, quote, an agreement ending the war and restoring peace in Vietnam, unquote, brought an end to direct U.S. involvement in the war. By that time, the United States had been waging war in Vietnam for more than a decade, having ramped up operations in 1965. To appease South Vietnam, who was unwilling to recognize the Viet Cong as a legitimate partner in negotiating the terms of a ceasefire, references to it were omitted from the signing document. The agreement established a ceasefire throughout Vietnam, and the United States agreed to remove all of its troops and advisors, totaling nearly 24,000, and dismantle its bases within 2 months. The North, in turn, agreed to release U.S. troops and other prisoners of war. The following month, in what became known as Operation Homecoming, North Vietnam returned more than 590 American prisoners of war. In January 1975, President Gerald R. Ford, who became president following Richard Nixon's resignation over the Watergate scandal, ruled out any further U.S. military involvement in Vietnam. 4 months later, communist forces seized South Vietnam's capital, Saigon, and the government surrendered. The U.S. Marines and Air Force transported more than 1,000 American civilians and nearly 7,000 South Vietnamese refugees out of Saigon in a mass evacuation effort. A personal comment here, you know, when you look up this day in history, how the Marines and Air Force transported more than 1,000 American civilians, 7,000 South Vietnamese, let's throw in the United States Navy, which I know that's who the Marines are with. All right. In the summer of 1976, the North and South unified as a Socialist Republic of Vietnam under communist rule that continues today. And by the end, 58,000 U.S. service members were killed in the Vietnam War, including more than 1,200 in Cambodia and Laos. End of the Vietnam War. Well, in the news from the Daily Mail, they are revealing that former director Louis Free gave $100,000 to a private trust for Joe Biden's grandchildren. Free spoke with then Vice President in 2016 to explore with him some future work options. And this all from emails from Hunter's laptop. The bombshell communications from July 2016 raised the question, was Joe Biden discussing future private business deals while still in office? In an earmarked confidential and privilege, Free wrote to Hunter that he would be eligible to do future work with you. Emails show that at the time, Free was working for three men who were later found to be corrupt foreign criminals. Free was not involved in their corruption offenses or implicated in the charges against them. Now, Free, who served as FBI director under Bill Clinton and George Bush, ran a consultantary firm with high controversial clients. His clients included the now-jailed Malaysian prime minister, who, by the way, stole billions of dollars from his country and also a Romanian real estate tycoon convicted of bribery, former director Louis Free. Well, the grassroots group Move Oregon's Border for a Greater Idaho wants to flip Oregon's mostly rural eastern and southeastern counties. Don't know if you'd heard about this. Oh, by the way, plus a few northern counties in California. Slip them down and put them into Idaho. That's right, believing that they'd be better off in Idaho's more conservative political environment. It's hoping that political pressure from the county initiative votes will lead to negotiations between Oregon and Idaho to move the border between the two states, putting up to 22 of Oregon's 36 counties in Idaho. Quote, "This election proves that rural Oregon wants out of Oregon," leader petitioner Mike McCarter said in a statement. "If Oregon really believes in liberal values such as self-determination, the legislature won't hold our counties captive against our will. If we're allowed to vote for which government officials we want, we should be allowed to vote for which government we want as well." Now, the signature gathering effort to gain political refugee from the blue states was hampered out last year due to coronavirus pandemic. But now it's picking up momentum. Several prominent elected officials in Idaho, including Governor Brad Little, have expressed support for the movement. Wouldn't that be strange? Yes. Now, in really serious news here, three Republican lawmakers will be fined $500 each. Those Republicans, why? For entering the House floor, you know, the one that Nancy Pelosi sits over, entered the House floor without mask, despite the latest guideline from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. Yes, a Capitol official said those Republicans, Representatives Brian Mass, Florida, Beth Van Doon, Texas, Marietta Miller-Meeks, Iowa, they will be fined $500 after ignoring previous warnings. This coming from the Hill. Quote, seven other Republicans will be issued formal warnings and could face 500 fines if they, too, refuse to wear masks on the House floors again. That's Representative Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Laurent Boebert, Chip Roy, Bob Good, Mary Miller, and Louis Gohmert. Yes, you people. For the next offense, if you're ready for this, listener, they're going to be fined $2,500. Nancy's told you, the mask must be fully vaccinated, blasted to move. Yes. You know what my comment here is? Pelosi, she wasn't fined, was she, for wearing a mask at the height of the coronavirus in the hair salon? There's too much craziness going on in the government right now. Some of it is leaking over into this program. United States Customs and Border Protection, CBP, now says there is a surge in fentanyl coming across the United States border. And the agency has seized more than the incredibly potent narcotic in the first several months of 2021 than it did in all of 2020. No, I did not say under Trump. All right. Quote, Custom and Border Protection sees more fentanyl so far in 2021 than all of 2020. And this was on ABC News. Quote, as of April, 6,494 pounds of fentanyl were seized by authorities at the border, compared to 4,776 pounds in all of 2020. In fact, fentanyl seizures have been increasing since 2018. Kamala Harris could soon be cut off. That's right. Pressure still mounting on Harris to visit the southern border in her capacity addressing the migration crisis as a Republican representative introduces a bill yesterday that will restrict the vice president's travel, yep, until she goes to the U.S.-Mexico border. Representative Ashley Hinson of Iowa putting forward the See the Crisis Act. You like that one? See the Crisis Act before the House recesses, proposed banning Harris from taxpayer-funded travel as she still refuses to visit the border to address the growing issues, especially involving the children. Representative Ashley Hinson of Iowa, putting forward to see the crisis act before the House recess, quote, "We have an absolute crisis at the border, and the Vice President Harris was appointed to lead the administration's efforts on the border crisis. But it's been 56 days, and in that time she hasn't been to the border once." Quote, "She hasn't held a news conference on the administration's efforts for a plan. And I think it's time she does that." Ashley Hinson, representative of Iowa, thank you for doing your job. Yes, here's another one on Kay Harris. Vice President keeps assist in a tax advantage family trust, a move that appears to violate an ethics pledge that she and President Biden made on a campaign trail. According to Harris's financial disclosure from release last Monday, she's been a trustee of the KDH/DCE Family Trust since 2017. The trust assets are not reportable, according to the filing, effectively obscuring some of the vice president's holdings from public view. Oh, we better get a warrant for her arrest, yes? The trust is inconsistent with Biden and Harris's campaign plan to crack down on such vehicles once they got in office. Biden and Harris pledged to work with Congress to, quote, "eliminate the trust loophole in existing financial disclosure law." And Biden said he, quote, "required that any member of his administration who is a beneficiary of a discretionary trust disclose all of its holdings, except maybe the border lady." Huh, maybe Kamala doesn't have to do that. It's unclear why Harris does not have to adhere to the pledge and report and to the law and everything else that everybody else does when she has that holding in trust. Quote, "The trust held by the vice president and second gentleman is a common estate planning vehicle, and it's fully consistent with the ethics pledge put in place by the Biden-Harris administration." Sabrina Singh, deputy press secretary for Vice President Harris, that's what she told Fox News following the publication of this here article. "This trust does not hold any business interests or securities." Oh, yeah, sure. "A family trust or living trust provides tax benefits to married couples by allowing them to maximize their federal estate tax exemption, and they are, quote, ideal for people that own real estate in more than one state and an excellent method of asset protection." This according to a California law firm. Now, while Kamala obscures holdings within the trust, some of its assets can be gleaned from public sources, from areas in which the vice president has lived. Washington, D.C. property records show that Harris and second gentleman Doug Emhoff, they used this KDH/DCE trust to purchase luxury condo near D.C.'s Georgetown neighborhood. Now, I know we're just talking about loose change, and as we wrap this up, the condo I just mentioned is now currently listed for sale on Zillow with an asking price of nearly $2 million. But not enough to have to do what the regular Americans have to do, right? In importing what they have, all this good stuff, yes. And the beat goes on. The one and only Michael Cutler coming up next.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as 1 day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as 1 day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as 1 day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Let me tell you about my guest, Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the former INS. You know what that is, right? Immigration and Naturalization Service. He is host of the radio program, The Michael Cutler Hour. And Mike, as I've told you, has testified as an expert witness at numerous congressional hearings on issues relating to the enforcement of immigration laws, especially in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. His articles can be found at Front Page Magazine, Social Contract, Newsmax, MichaelCutler.net. By the way, the website for Front Page Magazine is frontpagemag.com. Mr. Cutler, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Mr. Wilder, if we're going to be that formal today. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You know, today in history was the official signing and the end of the Vietnam War. And boy, you just don't hear too many people talking about it and the flags waving or anything like that, do you?
No, and it was sad. It was one of those things where you couldn't say we really won, you know? And
I know.
It was the beginning of a trend of American military being used as a police force. It started with Korea, then we had Vietnam. Lots of quagmires, tragically, lots of injured and killed American soldiers. And, you know, I think Donald Trump was right, saying, look, we shouldn't be getting involved in foreign intrigues, if you will, unless there's a direct nexus to what's in the best interests of America. What a novel thought.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Let us focus now on a thing called Operation Sentinel. that had nothing to do with the Vietnam War, but I love the subtitle you gave this Operation Sentinel, and I was talking about earlier this when I came on that you say it should be renamed Operation Back Rub. Now, this happened on October 27, 2021, right? Is that when they did this?
Yeah, that's about right. And there's a little backstory to Back Rub.
Yeah.
During the Bush administration, and I was very critical of President Bush. I mean, look, let's be honest. This isn't a left-right issue. The way he created DHS, I came to call the Department of Homeland Surrender, cutting immigration into two entities, Customs and Border Protection and ICE. He violated the Homeland Security Act, which was the legislation that created DHS. He also folded in all sorts of other agencies that had nothing to do with immigration. Another violation of the Homeland Security Act, pointed out, by the way, by John Hostetler, who at the time was the Republican chairman of the House Immigration Subcommittee. And Bush, not unlike what we're seeing with Biden, I mean, Biden, of course, has done stuff that just totally...
Biden's quicker with a pen, right?
Oh, yes. It seems to be, and the executive order.
Yeah.
But Bush did the same thing with these ridiculous names of these operations that sounded like, wow, we're getting serious, and it was all nonsense. And I was working with a reporter, not working with him per se, but briefing him routinely. I believe he was from England at the time. And I said, you know, all these operations really should have one name, Operation Backrub. When you have a child who wakes up in the middle of the night with a nightmare or night terrors, your goal as a parent is to calm that child down, serve them some warm milk, rub their back, assure them that everything is okay. You hope the child will go back to sleep so you can go back to sleep.
Can I tell you something, Michael? Yeah. When I first saw this Operation Back Rub, and before I'd even gotten into your story, right, and I said, just to myself, I said, it must be you rub my back and I'll rub yours, see?
Well, it's not my quid pro quo. It's about placating Americans who are upset and alarmed over what's going on. And so the funny story was the next day the reporter called me up and told me I almost got him thrown out of the White House. I said, what happened? He said, I was at the White House briefing room. President Bush was standing at the podium, announced yet another one of these ridiculous operations. And he said, the thought came to my mind immediately, oh, my God, it's another Operation Back Rub. And he had such a struggle to not laugh out loud that everyone turned and looked at him because he was making all these noises, including the president, and he was convinced they were going to eject him. And we are back to Operation Back Rub with Biden. Operation Sentinel is nonsense. And I laid out in my front page magazine what's wrong with Operation Sentinel, why I think it's just a way for the administration to placate angry, frustrated, and disconcerted Americans.
Yeah. Let me give you a heads up here, and then you're going to be able to rock and roll with this, so to speak, because we're coming up on that break, and I don't want to have to holler over you.
But I feel broken.
Yeah, I know. But at least back then you didn't have to submit the question you were going to ask, you know, the press secretary or the president. Yeah, that's, you know, just send them a text. Yeah, that'll work. Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent, former INS, that's the Immigration Naturalization Service. This one is called DHS, created Operation Sentinel to combat human trafficking. But it should be renamed Operation Back Rub. And you can find it on front, no, not back, frontpagemag.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212.
800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Michelle Pfeiffer gives one of her best ever performances as a wealthy, eccentric widow who can't or won't manage her money and so is forced to flee to Paris with her aimless son, played by Lucas Hedges, in French Exit, now available on various platforms at a sharply lowered price.
My plan was to die before the money ran out, but I kept and keep not dying, and here I am.
And there she is, dominating every scene. But the problem is that the story surrounding her is so peculiar, involving a black cat possessed by a spirit from the great beyond, and a collection of odd but not particularly endearing characters who assemble around her new life in France. Based on a novel that did a much better job of filling in the blanks and answering questions about the weirdness that wobbles through this profoundly peculiar film, this R-rated exercise, mostly for language, never lives up to its great stars. Luminous performance. Only 2 stars for French Exit.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Michael Cutler, and talking about his latest article, frontpagemag.com, about the back rub. All right. And go ahead, Mike. I know you're getting ready to rock and roll there. And but let me ask
sure.
you real quick.
Well, thank you.
You do mention about how you say it was hard to imagine that the Biden administration is sincere about this desire to combat human trafficking and alien smuggling, because in another article you had, Biden amps up the immigration delivery system, the refusal to declare a border crisis. Do you think they flip a coin, you know, heads we have one, tails we don't, or whatever it lands up?
No, the way they flip the coin, it's heads they win, tails we lose. How does that
you
work
got it.
For you?
All right, go ahead.
Boy, you really teed that up pretty good to me. Thank you. It is a delivery system, and it's been a delivery system for decades, and the American people have been hoodwinked. I mean, think about it. The system is broken. So what's the solution? Take a broken system and give tens of millions of illegal aliens lawful status. We don't know who they are. We don't know their identities. We don't know why they're here. But we'll give them lawful status. We'll give them the keys to the kingdom with a broken system, supposedly. And we know that terrorists multiple times use failures of the immigration system to enter the United States, embed themselves, and carry out attacks. That was the finding of the 9/11 Commission. So before I get to the story, I just want everyone out there to remember Schumer and Pelosi, the dynamic duo. By the way, I'm still trying to confirm rumors that they've suspended Nancy Pelosi's pilot's license for her broomstick But we'll see how that plays out. I really have a problem with these people. And full disclosure, yeah. I'm a registered Democrat. They've morphed into something ugly. They're not Democrats. Pelosi keeps saying she wants a 9/11 commission-style report over January 6th. I would love to see someone ask her and get an answer as to whether she actually read the 9/11 commission report, and if so, how she thinks the Biden policies either square with or contradict
All right.
the recommendations
now then,
and findings.
Real quick, you know, Pelosi's too busy fining Republican congresspeople for not wearing their mask. Now, this is unbelievable. Had that story. I don't know if you heard about it. $500.
I did.
And now she's coming
I
up.
Did.
It's going to be $2,500 if they do it again. You know, the lady that didn't wear the mask, right?
When she got her hair done? Was that her?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Let me tell you. She wants to play Simon Says with consequences. Instead, her version is called Nancy Says. I think that's what's going on. This is a power trip. She is the ultimate control freak, and she's very dangerous. And what she's doing is disgusting and infuriating. But that brings us back to the delivery system.
Because but let me tell you one other thing real quick before my little tiny brain forgets it, because it's doing that lately. You were talking about, you know, pardon me?
You were having a Biden moment. I understand.
Oh, thank you. Yes. We were having this, you know, we were talking about, you know, on your intro, talking about 9/11, right? And here they just now passed, okay, we're going to have the other inspection on January 6th, you know, and they're going to get caught on that. And they said it's going to be similar or if not almost alike, the 9/11 attacks. Are they serious?
And that's why I'm raising that point. And that's my point.
All right. Go
and
ahead.
That's my point.
Okay.
So,
I'm sorry
event,
I pointed it out.
That's okay. But what it's been delivering is an unlimited supply of foreign workers who can be exploited, not just the illegals, but the high-tech visas, an unlimited number of foreign tourists. That's why we have an expanding visa waiver program that should have ended the morning after 9/11. We have an unlimited supply of foreign students. We've been educating our adversaries from China, Russia, and other countries. Brilliant. And finally, and this is the kicker, an unlimited supply of clients for immigration law firms on both sides of the aisle. And so you look at all the people making money. I wrote another article for the American Conservative about the profiteers from Biden's open borders policy, including Walmart, because they're wiring the money from the families of people that are being held hostage by the human traffickers. They've been kidnapped. So everyone is feeding at the trough. America and Americans are getting shafted, and they're undermining national security, public safety, public health, and jobs and wages for Americans. And now we get to Biden. With all that going on, do you think he's sincere? Of course he's not. This is why I call it back rub. So we're going to have all these agencies work together, the FBI and DEA and the Border Patrol and ICE. Hold on. When you say they're going to work together, the first question, because I was part of a multi-agency task force for 10 years, the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. First question, how many agents are they going to add from each agency to the task force? Is it going to be one per agency? Remember Maxwell Smart? Would you believe we're about to be rescued by two cops in a rowboat? Is that what we're getting, two cops in a rowboat? Or are they going to commit hundreds of agents?
Now you've done it, see. Maxwell Smart, was he the one that the elevator wouldn't open, the door wouldn't open all the time? Or?
That's right, yes.
Ah, thank
you. Absolutely.
Okay. Right? Hey, here's the thing, and finish that statement. In this excellent article, you've got six questions, all right? So I want, when you get through with that, make sure that you allow time for those six questions, okay? Go ahead.
Well, those questions lead into what I was just asking about right now, in fact.
Right.
So first of all, how long are they going to run this operation? Are they going to make three arrests and say, mission accomplished, like Bush on the aircraft carrier? Or are they going to allow this to continue indefinitely as everything continues to go on? How many agents, as I've said, will be assigned? Will they be full-time or part-time? How many prosecutors? Will they have any federal prosecutors? How many analysts or other support personnel will they be committing to this? How much money will they be providing to pay for informants, to pay for travel expenses, detention spaces, and so forth? Without money, it's not going to work. And finally, what kind of oversight will they be providing? What will the critical elements be of the job descriptions for the agents who presumably are going to be assigned to this Operation Sentinel? And
now
then we get to the real showstopper. How do you do this while you still have policies in place that continue to draw aliens from around the world? This isn't just from Mexico or Central America. We're getting people from countries that sponsor terrorism. We have no idea who's flowing across the border. We also don't know about the getaways of the Border Patrol calls, the people that they see running away. They don't have the resources to go after them. They're in. We don't know their identities, their backgrounds, or their intentions. And I can tell you what smugglers frequently do is they will bring in a load that they sacrifice. It's like a sacrifice fly ball at a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in a load. The Border Patrol easily arrests them while they're processing those aliens. The load involving the terrorists or major drugs or major criminals come across the border, but the Border Patrol is bogged down
now,
dealing with what they just arrested.
Yeah. Michael, on question number 5, how much money is going to be dedicated for various operational expenses, blah, 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 right? And, you know, just a few days ago, they took out, I think it was $3 billion or something, maybe $6 billion out of the emergency fund that they're sending down to the border to take care of the children and, you know, the people that are, you know, are down on the border. $1 billion, billions, billions, right, out of the emergency fund. You know, the emergency fund was set up for crises, but the crises were like terrorist attacks, earthquakes, flooding, or, you know, things like that.
Or COVID-19.
I'm going to tell you something. No, even some of that emergency fund was supposed to go to further testing on COVID and things like that, COVID.
Right.
But now
right.
they put it into this non-emergency on the border.
Right.
You get my point?
Yes, of course I do.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and you may have missed this one, but that's the topic for my next article that I just submitted to Front Page Magazine. Guess how much money Joe Biden wants to give the Internal Revenue Service to make sure they catch the tax cheats?
$100 billion.
Well, you're close. $80 billion for the
really?
Next 10 years. Yes. So while we're making sure that Americans don't cheat on their taxes, no one gives a damn if the aliens cheat on their applications for political asylum. And then we come back to Alejandro Mayorkas. We go full cycle. Alejandro Mayorkas was the head of Citizenship and Immigration Services and then became deputy director of DHS. He's now the director under Biden. Mm-hmm. And he was alleged to have played politics with the issuance of visas that have traditionally been used by terrorists and spies. The Office of Inspector General confirmed the concerns of the employees who complained about it and said, yes, he did play politics. And it takes us back to Terry McAuliffe. And therefore, possibly Hillary Clinton, God only knows. And this is the guy that is now running the Department of Homeland Surrender, and I wrote about that also.
Yeah. Now,
all of this, they're not serious.
Yeah.
They're not serious at all.
On the one you said you just sent in on $80 billion, you know.
Yep.
Now,
to the IRS.
Let me tell you something about Biden, okay, because you're talking about taxes and how much did people pay and stuff like that. I had an article, and I think it's over here somewhere, but anyway, whenever Joe Biden turned in his tax returns, okay, for last year, they reported something like $700,000 total. And you're wondering, you know, with all their houses and, yeah, so, right? But guess what?
Yep.
Kamala Harris and her husband, they turned in $1 million and a little under, like, you know, $699,000.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that he wants to pay anybody to start investigating, you know, how much people are paying on taxes and things like that. He should stay away from that or have Hunter Biden fix it for him.
Well, but if you remember, I think it was under the Obama administration, the Secretary of the Treasury was found to have owed $30,000 taxes that he didn't pay. Now, if you or I owe $30,000, you're not going to pay $30,000 when they find it. They're going to hit you with interest and penalties and fees up the river, right?
And lock me up for shooting back. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and $30,000 quickly becomes $130,000.
Yeah.
But he was Secretary of Treasury, and what did they say? Oh, just write a check for the $30,000. All is forgiven. Just
Boy.
Like I was told when I got my badge as a federal agent that if you ever plead the Fifth, if you're being questioned officially about your duties, take a hard look at that badge because we're going to take it from you. You certainly can invoke the Fifth Amendment, but you can't keep your job if you do.
You know, when you and I first got together 1,200 years ago, I always remember the story you were talking about when you and your partner would go into a restaurant and don't get a free cup of coffee. Remember that? Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yet you have the politicians are getting what they call campaign contributions. That is Orwellian newspeak for bribe. Okay, let's call it what it is. It's called a bribe. All right? And if you don't like lobbyists, think about who the people are who work for the lobbyists. You know who works for the lobbyists? The politicians. Think of the employer-employee relationship. The employer writes the check. The employee deposits the check. Who's writing the check? Who's depositing the check? Need I say more? Have we ever seen our government more corrupt than it is today, Chuck?
I know. You know, you also mentioned here about, let me see if I can find it. You say the showstopper is how can the Biden administration be serious about dismantling alien smuggling operation while ignoring the smuggled aliens themselves who are at the heart of these criminal operations? Yesterday, story came out, Customs Border Protection, United States Customs, says that now there's this new surge in fentanyl and more than they had in all of 2020. As of April, 6,494 pounds compared to 4,000 for the entire year of 2020. Yep. Boy, I mean, you open it up, you know, you open the floodgate and guess what's going to happen?
And that's exactly what's happening. And by the way, when you look at sanctuary cities and the policies of the Biden administration to not arrest illegal aliens, that makes it impossible to make smuggling cases anyway. Because we did these. And the way you make a human trafficking case, folks, and the media doesn't talk about it because the talking heads are clueless, you arrest aliens who were smuggled into the United States. And some of them will tell you they were smuggled. Some will claim they came by themselves. Everyone's got a different story.
Yeah.
But you find someone who appears to be credible. You offer to allow them to stay here temporarily with permission to work. They will begin to cooperate. What's the phone number from the safe house? What was the guy's name? What kind of a truck was he driving? They give you the information. You start piecing it together. You figure out who the phone belongs to. You pull up a subpoena. You get a subpoena. Pull up phone records, and you work it backwards. But it starts with the arrest of the smuggled alien. Okay. And that's the way you build the case. And ultimately, the smuggled aliens have to testify in court as to what the people that you arrested did in terms of the smuggling activity, the kidnapping, the weapons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you block agents from arresting illegal aliens, as Biden is, you're blocking agents from making human trafficking cases. So you could be out there all day and all night trying to make a case. If you can't arrest illegal aliens, you're not going to be able to put a case together. That's why this is a sham investigation.
Oh, yeah.
It's designed to fail just like everything else we do. Why do we have 6,000 ICE agents for the whole country? New York City has 36,000 police officers. And most of the time, they're not doing immigration work. If you really want to solve illegal immigration, you have to do it from within the interior. Because, you know, I always like to tell or ask the riddle, how many times does an illegal alien have to run the border before they finally get into the United States? And the answer is one more time than the number of times they're caught.
Yeah.
So any alien who's determined to come to the United States will succeed if they are willing to be arrested multiple times. So what's the solution? Interior enforcement.
Okay,
is there interior enforcement? Mm-hmm. No. And that's the reason there isn't. This is a failure by design.
As we come up on this break, I'm going to give you the $64,000 question. Yes, good show.
Okay.
And it got rigged. Anyway, we know that, like in this article, ICE agents are not able to arrest illegal aliens. But it's who can do it? That's going to be the answer on the other side of this break from Michael Cutler. And remember, he writes for frontpagemag.com, American Conservative, The Social Contract. Oh, yeah. Newsmax.com. He's everywhere right now. He's right here, and we'll be right back.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Michael Cutler. And I'm giving you the $24,000 question. We know that Kamala Harris, she has come out. I think she even called him, Gestapo or something like that when she talked about ICE. Maybe that wasn't the right word.
Yep.
But she definitely is, open border. She hates police, even though she was an attorney general. Who can arrest them?
Well, under the law, it's only immigration agents. We had this 287G program for the police to work with ICE, but if ICE can't pick them up, it becomes an exercise in futility. That's why what they have done is to trash the system. It's done. This nonsense, how many arrests and then catch and release. And people don't understand that. It's funny because Newsweek just published an article. I'm probably going to write about this one also. The border towns are being overwhelmed by the asylum cases. And this is Newsweek. They lean way to the left. And they're saying that under Biden, the border communities are so inundated that they're going bankrupt. They're running out of water. They're running out of food. Okay. You think it's only the border communities? These folks are moving into the interior of the United States. It's an endless caravan. And when you hear this nonsense about 11 million, it's been 11 million for the last 15 years. This is like a clown car. We're probably up to 25, 30 million. God only knows. And more keep coming. And the more who come, the more the system crumbles. And we depend on this system to protect national security, public safety, public health, and the jobs and wages for Americans. That's why I said that Biden's immigration proposals, or rather jobs proposal, you could see it's a con job when you look at the immigration proposals. He wants to legalize what he calls the 11 million, 30 million. And let's say each brings in four children. We're looking at more than 100 million immigrants coming to America under Biden, which seems to be his goal. How do you find this economy, enough jobs, enough everything, to sustain an influx of more than 100 million immigrant children? It would crash the schools, the economy, health care, transportation. It would overwhelm America. It's not about disliking anybody. If you make up a list to have people come to your house for dinner or a party, you start with a bigger list and you whittle the names off because you know you don't have that many seats at the table. Not that you dislike the people that you take off the list, but you realize you have a limited budget. America has a limited budget. We can't bring the world's poor here and still survive. We're headed the wrong way on a one-way street, and someone needs to put the brakes to this.
Yeah, I wish we had time, Michael, but I kind of wanted to really get in with you about Custom and Border Patrol at airports. You know, there's an excellent series. I think it's on Smithsonian Channel or something, and it's, you know, at the airports
exactly
in Florida and New York. And smuggling. Are they holding back because they talk about they bring in some food or whatever, right? And here's a couple of little worms on it, and then it cost areas up in New York like $40 million to try to...
Agriculture destroys that food to make certain we don't have parasites come into the country.
Right, but here's my question.
To our industries.
Are they under Custom and Border Patrol? Are they being messed around with
Biden? They're being directed by CBP because they have the overarching responsibility for ports of entry, yes. And that was the point of a hearing, though. We should get into it. Let's do this.
We'll do it next time, all right?
We're about to talk about that. Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Right.
It's a good question.
Send me a memo, sir. Okay, you have it. Thank you very much, Mike. Michael Cutler, host of the Michael Cutler Hour, and that's on Fridays. And remember, it's, American Conservative, Front Page Mag, MichaelCutler.net. Oh, so many of them, you know. And I certainly appreciate each and every visit from the one and only Michael Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R, retired senior special agent from the Immigration Naturalization Service. Coming up next, it is the one and only the Duke, Selwyn Duke. Yes, he's got some really goodies, trust me.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world. That's right, everywhere at crntalk.com. Hey, when next we meet, my guests Kimberly Dvorak and Frosty Wooldridge. Right now, I want to tell you about my world-famous guest, Selwyn Duke. He has written for The New American. That's the main magazine, but you may have read him a long time ago, The Hill, Observer, American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, American Thinker, On the Garage, Graffiti. Anyway, he also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning, and he appears on many television shows and frequent guest on great radio shows, and even this one. His website, selwynduke.com. Hello, Selwyn. How are you?
Chuck, I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, too. It's funny. Yeah.
I'm experiencing some nice global warming here. The natural
global
variety.
Warming. I love it. Love it when people say the real word. Yes, go ahead.
No, the weather has finally taken a turn for the better here in New York, so it's very, very nice, you know, so...
Messes up things, though, you know, driving, slipping, communications, and all that kind of stuff, you know. hey, I got to tell you something. You know, sometimes, well, every time I have you on, I got to check, you know, early before I go on, as early as possible, because normally you got like three brand new ones. And I was really thinking, believe it or not, just a couple of days ago or a day ago, and I said, I hope he doesn't write anymore. This might be the first time. Because the three I have to talk about, try to get them in, okay. First one, reading Twain aloud gets you fired, but loving Hitler gets you a CNN job. the Woke Scouts of America's BSA's anti-white diversity and inclusion badge. If you have a little tiny bit of patriotism and Americanism in your blood, listener, that one's going to disturb you, okay? And then, just recently I had a guy running, you know, for California governor, okay? And believe it or not, here's one about California Guard members. A jet fighter was to be used to frighten protesters. And if you live in California, just try to imagine who might be behind that. No, Hitler's dead. It wasn't Hitler. Okay. Anyway, Selwyn, I've rattled on enough here. I was going to give you a Mark Twain quote, and I didn't have time to go to DuckDuckGo. And I was trying to think, what is, and I think I've never seen a poem as lovely as a tree. That's not Mark Twain.
Well,
give me one quote, Mr. Expert. Give me one quote from Mark Twain, just real quick. Not the one mentioned in the article here, but maybe one that he was famous for. He didn't say paint that fence, no.
No. In fact, here's a really good one that you and I might often turn into a lament because we're in the commentary business. He once said, a good answer is the one you think of later.
Wow.
Which is true, isn't it? Isn't it?
Let me think about it.
You might say, boy, why didn't I say this? Or why didn't I say that? Oh, that was great. That would have been perfect. That would have blown the other side out of the water.
And, you know, if you have memory lapse like I'm getting all of a sudden here every once in a while, it really bugs you, right? So I could always say, let me quote Mark Twain on that and get back to you, right? That would do it. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He certainly could turn a phrase.
How does he tie in that you can quote him and get fired, but loving Hitler would get you a job on CNN? And it has nothing to do with the New York boys, does it?
No, nothing at all. Okay. I'll tell you, Chuck, this is one of those stories where you just say, you really can't make these things up. I mean, it's unbelievable. So in the article, I opened talking about how this story is right up there, or maybe you'd say down there, with the British politician who was actually arrested and charged with hate speech in 2014 for quoting Winston Churchill, one of Britain's most famous statesmen. Anyway, what happened here was that there was this professor at St. John's University that happens to be here in New York City, in Queens. Not that I'm in New York City. I'm close enough, but not in it, thank God. But in Queens, New York, St. John's, big, big university. And she was reading a work by Mark Twain to her class. It was Pudd'nhead Wilson. And this work lampoons racism. It mocks racist attitudes. So you would think that this should be the kind of thing where liberals would say, oh, terrific, we should put this story front and center. Well, she got fired for having read part of this story. And what was the problem? Well, in the story, the N-word is used, just as in Huckleberry Finn, which was also written by Mark Twain. And that's because back then, actually, the word was not necessarily a pejorative. It was just used as a descriptive. Anyway, so one student complained, one student was offended, and this professor, her name is Hannah Berliner Fichtel, if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, was fired. She's a daughter of Holocaust survivors. She had been an adjunct professor of English at St. John's for 20 years, Chuck. This happened during a remote class, and it's very, very interesting. She said, defending herself, Mark Twain was one of the first American writers to use actual dialect. His use of the N-word is used only in dialogues, as it could have actually been spoken in the South before the Civil War, when the story takes place. So it's very, very interesting. You know, I want to say this. I read Huckleberry Finn years ago, Chuck, and one great thing about reading Twain or other such authors is that you get a real window into that time and place, into the 19th century South, for instance, because the story is written by someone who actually was there, and he's writing in the dialects of the time. So you get a feel for the time in a way that you couldn't just get any other way. But now this is verboten. Now kids can't be exposed to this, I guess. Anyway, what happened to this poor professor, if you want to call her a poor professor, Fichtel, is she got an email from a student who she said she had to abruptly leave the call. The student had to abruptly leave the call because of Fishtel's use of an inappropriate slur. I'm quoting the Post there.
Right.
Okay. Well, then what did this professor do? Well, she did the common thing, Chuck. She apologized. Now, that was a mistake because it never saves you. You know, I've been emphasizing this over and over and over again. Never apologize for being politically incorrect. Never apologize for speaking the truth because, one, you shouldn't apologize for speaking the truth. But as I said, it won't save you. And you know who's the perfect model for this? Donald Trump. You know, say what you want about him, whether or not you like his style. But the fact is that he would never, ever apologize for being politically incorrect, for being unwoke. And that is actually why he was able to reach the heights he did. And if you look at people who follow that pattern, who follow that tactic, okay, they often don't get canceled. And there's a simple reason for that. When you don't apologize, when you stand up for the truth, you become a hero to people, actually. People will want to rally behind you, okay? It's sort of like George Washington, you know, a heroic man. People want to rally behind him. But as soon as you apologize, you lose that hero status because people are going to say, well, if this person won't even stand up for himself, if he's going to back down, if he's not brave enough to stand there leading the charge, well, why should we back him up? You know, it's like if you have Braveheart on the field there, Chuck, and, you know, he was in that movie trying to rally the troops and prevent them from fleeing because they were losing heart.
And he probably couldn't say, come on, men, let's go. And they say, men, whoo. You know, it's just like, what is it they just got rid of now? Oh, yeah, man hours. You can't use that anymore. How many man hours did you put into that? You know, it's like we know there were three girls working, three women. Sorry, no, it's three others. Oh, golly. It's going to be hard to be in radio and start writing, you know. So when I'm telling you, it's getting worse. And I had to interrupt you. Go ahead there. But
no, it's okay. I was just saying. But imagine if instead Braveheart himself had fled the field, William Wallace. Well, then, of course, the whole saga, all his troops would have just dissolved. They would have disappeared. So if you want to be a leader, if you want to have people supporting you, you can't apologize in these situations. And it won't help you because the other side, as I say in my article, is not very Christian in terms of its orientation. It's not possessed of virtue. They don't care about forgiveness, these left-wingers. They care about power and total victory, and they're going to destroy you by any means necessary. So anyway, now that I've taken that little diversion, let's go back to the story here. So this Professor Fishtel, next what happened to her was that she was summoned to a March 3rd HR meeting, Human Resources, to address that she read Mark Twain, and also, according to the Post, quote, the discussion of the book and a comment she allegedly made about a black student's hair. Now, she said, Fishtel said, the Post writes, she only made a remark about a student's head being wrapped up during class and it had nothing to do with her hair. And she also said, get this, that she was criticized for mentioning her family's experience in the Holocaust during class, the Post further relates. All right. So what was the outcome of all this? Well, we gave you the spoiler already. The professor was suspended March 5th, and after what they call a bias investigation, she was fired April 29th.
Wow.
Okay, but here's the kicker, and this is why I say you can't make these things up. While mentioning a Holocaust experience, I guess, is now verboten in leftist circles, Chuck, Hitler love is, I guess, a resume enhancer. And consider this story, okay? There's a journalist named Adil Raja. Now, over the years, this guy has had his byline on 54 stories, Chuck, published at CNN. He's been working with CNN as a freelance contributor for almost 8 years. Okay, but he also has a history of publishing Hitler-worshipping tweets, tweets in which he adores Hitler. I mean, he's not shy about his love for the Holocaust, but CNN still has him on. Let's look at a few of these tweets, okay, because I have them right here. I mean, this is really, really something.
Okay.
He said...
And by the way, I got to tell you, I don't have those in front of me, okay, because for some reason they didn't print up on my printer. So sorry about that. Just want to let you know. I want to hear them now. Yeah.
Yeah, no, no. He wrote, this was in 2014, The only reason I'm supporting Germany in the finals, I guess it was a soccer game, is, quote, Hitler was a German and he did good with those Jews. He actually wrote that, okay? But there's more. There's more lowlights from this guy. He said, Adolf Hitler saying, make the lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. Well, now we know why CNN operates the way it does, right? The big lie technique. And he also said, the world needs another Hitler. I have to find that one here, but he said that as well. So it's just unbelievable. I mean, if you're a conservative, you can get canceled for saying boo. If you're that Professor Fishtel, you get canceled just for reading Mark Twain. But this guy actually expresses admiration for Hitler, and it's nothing to see here. Move along. No big deal. And, you know, of course, we see this over and over again. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get into it, but there was a story about an American Idol contestant. Maybe we talked about it the last time I was on, a 16-year-old kid who had to leave the show over a three-second video from when he was 12 in which he didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia. We did discuss this.
Blackface,
who,
yeah,
when he was in college, was either wearing a Klan outfit or was in blackface standing next to someone who was wearing a Klan outfit, and he didn't have to resign. Nothing happened to him. So it's absolutely...
Is he a Democrat?
Oh, Ralph Northam, he absolutely is a Democrat.
Oh, okay. Now, I can't understand why you don't understand why he didn't get fired, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, we're going to take our break here, Selwyn. And yeah, you do realize you used the N-word a while ago. CNN.
Oh. Oh, CNN.
You
That's
are a N-word, yes.
Counterfeit News Network. Counterfeit News Network.
All right, yeah. Selwyn Duke, the new American. And we're going to continue and on this one and some more goodies coming up. This one, reading Twain aloud gets you fired, but loving Hitler gets you a CNN job. And remember, it's the new American, right? Got it? And it's also SelwynDuke.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Michelle Pfeiffer gives one of her best ever performances as a wealthy, eccentric widow who can't or won't manage her money and so is forced to flee to Paris with her aimless son, played by Lucas Hedges, in French Exit, now available on various platforms at a sharply lowered price.
My plan was to die before the money ran out, but I kept and keep not dying, and here I am.
And there she is, dominating every scene. But the problem is that the story surrounding her is so peculiar, involving a black cat possessed by a spirit from the great beyond, and a collection of odd but not particularly endearing characters who assemble around her new life in France. Based on a novel that did a much better job of filling in the blanks and answering questions about the weirdness that wobbles through this profoundly peculiar film, this R-rated exercise, mostly for language, never lives up to its great stars. Luminous performance. Only 2 stars for French Exit.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American. And please continue, sir. We'll get into this more. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this professor, former professor at St. John's University, Fishtel is her name, who was fired for reading Mark Twain to her kids because the story contained the N-word just used within the context of a story, not as a racial epithet. But meanwhile, CNN has a contributor from Pakistan who's actually a Hitler lover. He's praised Hitler, and no one even talks about it. But there's really more to it, because what's going on here is we're seeing an inversion of morality in our civilization, Chuck, because they're worried about kids hearing the N-word within the context of a story. They get their feathers ruffled. If there's one complaint, that's it. Oh, he's offended. Well, you can't read it. Meanwhile, though, if you look at what they're actually feeding the kids' minds, it's absolutely shocking in today's school. I also mentioned in my piece that there was just this very, very contentious school board meeting in Loudoun County, Virginia, because the parents found out, and this is a pretty liberal district, by the way, that the district had been assigning sexually explicit vulgar books to high school freshmen. We're talking 14 and 15-year-olds, okay? And I'm talking about – they're talking about sex acts, fellatio, and, of course, they don't use that term. They use a more blunt, rough term. They have curse words in there, vulgarity, really, really inappropriate material. And – the members of the school board didn't want to hear these parents' complaints. They acted as if the parents were completely out of line. It's fine exposing kids to this. But Mark Twain, no, that's absolutely out. Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, you know this Loudoun County? I think it was Tucker Carlson. And you would know, because you and I are Tucker Carlson fans. At one time, the richest county in the United States of America. And then the Dems took over. And I saw the schools, you know, and what they're reading. And, I mean, it is unbelievable. And we talk about, you know, the N-word, okay? And you get it on TV shows. You especially get it in rap music. And it's sort of like, and, you know, and I don't want to offend anyone, but it's almost like, you know, the blacks have a private speech where they're allowed to say it all the time. But if you're white, you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's very interesting. I've got a little story related to this.
Yeah.
Years ago, I grew up in the Bronx, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, I was in the Bronx, and I was talking to this fellow who was Puerto Rican. That's where he said, or that's what he said his heritage was. And what he had to say about this was, he said, look, about the N-word, if you don't want white kids to use it, don't put it in songs. That's what he said. And I think that's just common sense. But you know, here's the other thing. You talk about N-word controversies. Here's something else relating to what we're discussing, Chuck. There have actually been controversies over the term niggardly. In fact, in 2008, there was a government employee in Dallas, Texas, who lost his job because he used that word in a meeting. Okay, now, niggardly has nothing to do with race. It means cheap. It means miserly. But someone heard it, maybe didn't understand the word, its meaning, got upset. And the person who did nothing wrong had to suffer because of that. And you know another thing, Chuck, that's so tragic about all of this is that we're dumbing down society. We're losing or missing opportunities to educate people. If you're reading Mark Twain to a class and there's a student who takes exception to the N-word in the story, why don't you explain to the students what it meant back then, that it wasn't necessarily a racial epithet? Why don't you also explain that you are getting a window into that time and place, that it's almost like living history? You can educate kids that way. That's what you're supposed to do if you're an educator. You can lift them up. Or with the word niggardly, it's the same thing. How about explaining to people what the word means, and also that just because a word sounds like a racial epithet a little bit doesn't mean it's related to it at all.
I'll give you one, you know. And me being from, you know, the West Texas, southeastern New Mexico area, okay, is the word redneck. You know, I heard it all the time, all the time. And supposedly, you know, that's, boy, that's a bad word, redneck. You know, and basically, if I'm not wrong, Selwyn, you know, it comes from driving around on a tractor, maybe originally, and, you know, and you had the redneck because the rest of you was protected from the sun. But, you know, you had it. I used to tell my father, hey, you've got the red arm. What does that mean? Because he'd always have his left arm hanging out of his pickup truck, you know. So funny where words come from. And I'll tell you something. Human resources. Wait till those robots take over and you can't use the word human. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
we're going to take a break. Selwyn Duke, the new American. Great stories all the time. And this next one, very disturbing. I mean, it's like America out of control. The Woke Scouts of America. That's what we're going to be talking about with Selwyn Duke. His website, Selwyn, SELWYNDUKE.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming.
When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American. Yes, sir. And this one, I mean, unfortunately, Selwyn, I think you and I are in the same boat. It's nothing surprises us. You've heard people say that. It's nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. Well, here's the article.
Yeah,
the Woke Scouts of America, BSA's anti-white diversity and inclusion badge. Is that the first one you have to earn now? We'll find out. Wow. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very interesting because, as I say in the article, many, many years ago, I had a great friend and a very wise man, and we were talking about how leftism transforms civilization. And he said it's like invasion of the body snatchers. And what he meant is that everyone looks the same as he would otherwise, but people think in bizarre ways because their minds have been completely snatched and distorted by what we call left-wing ideology, which really is moral dysfunction. That's what it is, as I've said before. It reflects an extreme and intense lack of virtue, if you want to understand what so-called leftism really is. But anyway, talking about the Boy Scouts, Chuck, you and I remember very well, wasn't really that long ago in the scheme of things, when the Boy Scouts of America was a very, very traditional organization. It was firmly ensconced in the right-hand side of the political spectrum, if you want to use that left-right terminology. It actually went to court to defend its more traditional policies. It was sued by a girl who wanted to become a Boy Scout. It was sued by a homosexual who wanted to be a member of the Boy Scouts and be openly homosexual. It was also sued by transgender people, I believe, or I'm not so sure about that, but for sure it was sued because it has God in its pledge, and the atheists didn't like that. Well, this happened in the 90s and into the year 2000, maybe a little beyond too, and the Boy Scouts won all of those lawsuits because they're a private organization, basically like a private club, and the court said, hey, you can do what you want. You can devise your own membership requirements or policies. Well, now fast forward about 20, 25 years, and what do we see? Well, in the teens, the 20-teens, 14, 15, 17, whatever, the Boy Scouts allowed girls into their ranks in a way that they never did before. They allowed first homosexual kids to be members openly, then openly homosexual scout leaders, so on and so forth. They still do have God in their pledge, but I don't know what they conceive of God as being. But now we can really say, if we didn't know it before, that the Boy Scouts, Chuck, has come full circle. Because now they have, like you said, this diversity and inclusion badge, okay, that you're going to have to earn if you want to be able to achieve Eagle Scout status, okay? And as one source put it, you know, the Scouts long ago went full woke. I'm quoting Flag and Cross here, quote, but this new diversity badge amps up that to full speed. And this source also says the Boy Scouts of America added, quote, that it will include information about George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor in its indoctrination of boys and girls. In its announcement, the organization insisted that it has not been as brave as it should have been to address evil white supremacy.
Can you believe, so, I mean, just right in your face, evil white supremacy, you know, and let me go back. You know, I get so tired. Okay, George Floyd, right, we know, he wasn't a perfect human being, but all right, it shouldn't have happened. Breonna Taylor, now she's the one that got shot through the apartment, right, I think?
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, drug dealer. That's what she was. When you get all of the facts and everything, she was running drugs and helping drug pushers and all this. And what I'm getting at, aren't there more deserving black people that could be, you know, really talked about, unless this all has to do with the evil white supremacy? Is that the reason they're bringing in George Floyd, Taylor, Arbery?
Yeah, well, look, the reasons for this are multifaceted, obviously. I mean, you have the power mongers, like I've said before, the politicians who are playing the divide and conquer card. A lot of them, like Kamala Harris, really don't believe in this critical race theory nonsense, Chuck, and the white supremacy shtick, but they know it's a good way to win power. Then you have other people who are so prejudiced and hateful and brainwashed that they actually do subscribe to this nonsense. And I'm talking about the activists, certain people in the rank and file to whom these things matter, individuals such as those people in the media, college professors, certain people in entertainment. So it's multifaceted, like I said, but it's really, really disgusting. I've probably told you this before, Chuck, but I'm in my 50s now, and I don't think I've ever met a white supremacist. I mean, they're vanishingly rare. It's like searching for a unicorn, yet now this is supposed to be the greatest threat we face. So now the Boy Scouts of America has waded into this. And, of course, I also should mention that when we see this with corporations and entities such as the BSA, they also, in many cases, Chuck, are just going along to get along. Remember, they care about the bottom line, and sometimes they think this is actually going to help them becoming woke. But get this. After the Boy Scouts does all this, right, the organization actually stated that this, quote, is not a political issue, unquote, at all. At all. Not a political issue, even though they're embracing Black Lives Matter nonsense. And as I point out in my article, because it's easy to just laugh at that, but there is a little deeper truth here, Chuck, and that's that the government has become so big that it has its claws in everything nowadays. And what does that mean? That means that most everything is a political issue, because as soon as you get the government involved, politicians get involved, and it becomes a political issue. Okay? That's the way it works. Okay, but let's get back to what the Boy Scouts actually now is up to, because parents should know, since they might be pondering putting their kids into this organization. Right. They stated, they quote, always stand for what is right. This was announced in a Scouting Wire letter, right? The letter was of a while back. It actually was from last year, but it's just more recently that the story has gotten a little more media exposure. And here's what they plan to do, okay? One, this is from their letter, introducing a specific diversity and inclusion merit badge, as we've already said, that will be required for the rank of Eagle Scout. It will build on components within existing merit badges, including the American cultures and citizenship in the community merit badges, which require scouts to learn about and engage with other groups and cultures to increase understanding and spur positive action. So I guess when they're saying, Chuck, other groups and cultures, I guess BLM, Black Lives Matter, is part of that. I guess they're talking about violent and destructive subcultures, too. But here's their second element. Quote, reviewing every element of our programs to ensure diversity and inclusion are ingrained at every level for participants and volunteers by applying a standard that promotes racial equality and denounces racism, discrimination, inequality, and injustice, unquote. Now, I guess, Chuck, here they're a little bit behind the curve because they're emphasizing racial equality, and I guess they didn't get the memo that the left now has moved on to equity, which is the antithesis of equality. Equity is actually, of course, just a euphemism for officially sanctioned discrimination, usually against white people. But okay, let's move on. Their third point, quote, requiring diversity and inclusion training for all BSA employees starting July 1st, 2020, and taking immediate action toward introducing a version for volunteers in the coming months.
And I'll tell you something about that one real quick, about the this training for BSA employees. I think it might have been 5 weeks ago that I read an article about they were having some problems there, where the sexual problems with the employees and the scouts. So that may be something there, but I'm telling you, if it's all inclusive, I mean, you know, you be able to sleep with whoever you want to, right? Apparently, because you don't want to be prejudiced.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I mean,
you
know, it's Mark Twain said, slippery slope. Oh, Mark Twain, give it to me quick.
No, he said again, a good answer is the one you think of later. I was going to say, a good answer is the one that Chuck Wilder reminds you of, because I should mention something else here, which is when they say diversity and inclusion, you know, to the uninitiated, that might sound good. They might say, Duke, what's the problem with that? Well, here's the problem. It's a lie. It's not inclusion. Nothing is all inclusive. Everyone draws boundaries. So if you have traditional views, like if you believe in traditional sex roles, traditional sexual standards, sexual mores, they're not going to be inclusive of you and your ideas. No, they're going to call you names, and they're going to tell you that you should be canceled if you don't subscribe to their agenda. That's what they mean by diversity and inclusion. They mean diversity exactly as they define it, which excludes certain types of diversity. So like everyone else, they draw lines. They just draw them in the wrong places. Yeah. Now let's get to their fourth point, the last one. Quote, they're interested in conducting a review of property names, events, and insignia in partnership with local councils to build on and enhance the organization's nearly 30-year ban on the use of the Confederate flag, and to ensure that symbols of oppression are not in use today or in the future. So now they're also interested in canceling symbols, and none of this is surprising.
Wonder what kind of symbols those would be, Selwyn? American flag?
Well, who knows? I mean, the same people who've been tearing down the Confederate statues, Chuck, and who don't like the Confederate flag also have a problem with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, really anyone from the past who they think represents something contrary to their hard left agenda. Now, of course, if it comes to other people in the past who did politically incorrect things, well, they have no problem with them. Like, for instance, Muhammad, the Muslim prophet, he was a slave trader and owner. And he engaged in torture, and he did other malevolent things, but they're not going to say anything about that because, one, that doesn't serve their agenda, and, two, they're a little worried about their heads maybe not staying exactly where they are on their shoulders, if you know what I mean. I mean, there's certain people you just don't want to beat up on. Christians are soft targets, but not all groups are, and I'll leave it there. So, anyway, you know, it's really something, though, Chuck, as I mentioned in my article, what's also notable here is that the Boy Scouts' mandate is to mold children, but the organization itself is behaving childishly. And what I mean is it embraced all this nonsense in the midst of last year's George Floyd-fired racial frenzy, right? Just doing what corporate America was doing because it became fashionable to embrace these things. But shouldn't we be more adult than that? I mean, should we just be embracing the latest little social innovation like a child, you know, you're given to flights of fancy and sudden change? No, we're supposed to be more mature than that. And that's something that always strikes me with respect to this wokeness, Chuck. The fact that we, too many of us, are just completely unintellectual today. We're so disconnected from truth, from eternal principles that we glom on, we don't embrace the eternal, we glom on to the ephemeral, meaning the short-lived. So it's fashionable to tout BLM and engage in all this woke stuff, and so we do it. Just absolutely unbelievable. Now, here's the thing. This is what's happening with the Boy Scouts. I want to mention, not that I have any affiliation with this organization, but there are better scouting organizations out there now. For instance, one of them is Trail Life USA, which bills itself as being what the Boy Scouts maybe used to be and should be. Trail Life USA is Christ-centered. They say they're boy-centered as well. In other words, you're not going to find them rushing to include girls or rushing to include openly homosexual members, so on and so forth. Or there's no good, not going to be a drag
queen. Let me ask you this real quick.
Hour there.
Can a Biden can a Biden executive order put an end to that?
Well, you never know what the left's going to try, and obviously
Trail Life USA. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as the left gains more and more control, Chuck, it's going to become more and more oppressive, and it's going to be imposing its values more and more. And we have to understand that, and that's why we have to push back, because you cannot satisfy, you cannot placate these left-wing radicals. You know, They are the greatest destroyers of freedom there has ever been. Friedrich Nietzsche, who was an atheist's atheist, the so-called philosopher, the German, he said this in the 19th century. He said, there's no greater destroyer of freedoms than liberal institutions once they are realized. I'm paraphrasing him now. What he was saying is, when they're out of power, you don't see their claws. You don't see their fangs. They don't bear them. They masquerade as something very, very nice and appealing that you might want to elevate to a position of power. But once they have that power and they cement it, well, forget about it. They become these liberal institutions, very illiberal, more oppressive than anything that you ever could imagine. Wow. And I'll just close this story by saying what I have in my article at the very end. You know, the Boy Scouts, Chuck, it still, ironically, has its scouting oath. And in part, this reads, on my honor, I will do my best to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Well, I've got a little advice for them, Chuck, a pro tip. A, quote, fallacy doesn't cease to be a fallacy because it becomes a fashion, as Chesterton put it. And a moral doesn't cease to be a moral because it becomes a minority view, as Boy. Duke put it.
Boy, you know, I'm glad Duke got in there. But I'm also not surprised. Chesterton, he got it. But I'm going to tell you, Chesterton, he listens all the time. He quoted Mark Twain at least three times. So this is something else. Mentally awake and morally straight. Well, we're going to get rid of that because that's a no-no word. You know, are you straight?
Well,
remember, yeah. No.
Yeah, look at that. That occurred to me, too. Absolutely. I mean, They want people to be morally bent, but not just that. What about the word moral? That's unfashionable now. You're supposed to say values or something like that.
Well, here's the thing as we go into our final break. Let's hope. All right, because of what's happening in the Boy Scouts, let's just hope this doesn't go so far it'll start happening in the armed forces of the United States. Boy Scouts, you know, they're fighting butterflies and things like that, you know, squirrels. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a bulletin. Yes, really. Selwyn Duke. S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. I love it when I say W-Y-N. What is that on your dial? So, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day, and for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke. And listener, you might remember at the beginning of this interview, Selwyn mentioned about American Idol contest. Recently had to leave the show, 3-second video that came up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Selwyn Duke filed a story. California Guard members, jet fighter was to be used to frighten protesters. And Selwyn, I sent this to a friend of mine, Daniel Mercury, who's running for California governor. And it's so interesting because this all surrounds Newsom and what he did. And this is something else. You got about 2.5 minutes. I'm going to let you run with it, okay, and get out as much information as possible.
Okay. Well, you know, as I pointed out in my article, as virtue declines in America, and that's what's going on, what we see is the third worlding of the country. And this is a phenomenon where, for one thing, power is increasingly used to destroy political opponents by any means necessary, Chuck. And here's a good example. This is according to certain National Guardsmen, California National Guardsmen, who blew the whistle. What they said is, this is the Los Angeles Times now, quote, in March of last year, California National Guard members awaited orders from Sacramento headquarters to make preparations for any civil unrest that might arise from the outbreak of the coronavirus. The members expected directives to ready ground troops to help state and local authorities respond to disturbances triggered by resistance to stay-at-home rules or panic over empty store shelves. But then came an unusual order. The Air Branch of the Guard was told to place an F-15C fighter jet on an alert status for a possible domestic mission. This is according to 4 Guard sources with direct knowledge of the matter, writes the LA Times. And these sources, the Times continues, quote, didn't spell out the mission, but given the aircraft's limitations, they understood it to mean the plane could be deployed to terrify and disperse protesters by flying low over them at window-rattling speeds, with its afterburners streaming columns of flames. Fighter jets have been used occasionally in that manner in combat zones in Iraq and Afghanistan, they said, unquote. Now, of course, the top brass at the California National Guard, Chuck, they deny this. Governor Newsom, I don't know if he has anything to say about it, but he would have been the one responsible because he's the commander-in-chief of the California National Guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're seeing, again, like I said at the opening when we were talking about the story a couple of minutes ago, is this is another example of how more and more we're seeing the government use unconstitutional or immoral tactics to target political opponents, which is something you see in a declining civilization where you less and less are a nation of laws and more are a nation of men. I mean, this is something, not surprisingly, that one of the sources said, I'm quoting the Times again, this is something that would happen, quote, in the Soviet Union, okay? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Because as we're going to come into the theme music here in a moment, listener, read this article and get the whole thing, because in the article, page 2, Ruby Ridge Standoff, 1992. If you don't think they'll go to great extremes, remember the tanks, shooting fire, etc., etc. Vicky Weaver shot in the head by a sniper. Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you very much, Mr. Duke. I appreciate it very much.
Thank
Look forward
you,
to the next visit. Selwyn Duke. It's selwynduke.com. Thank you, Tomas. Thank you for listening. And God bless the underline United States of America.